You from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So much of Christmas is about the clothes. There's the ugly sweater that I'm sure some of you have in your closet or in your drawer that you're going to wear to that holiday party. There's the coordinating outfits and colors of the season that are going to be displayed on that Christmas card that hopefully you've already taken the picture for and ordered the cards. And of course, there's the matching family pajamas that seems like everybody has to have these days, right? We spend a good deal of time this time of year worrying about what we're going to wear. And for good reason. The clothing of Christmas tells a story, doesn't it? It tells the world something of the excitement which we're celebrating during this season, the meaning that we seek to incorporate, and the memories that we aim to make. And the same thing could be said for scriptures. The clothing tells a story. Sure, it's easy to overlook, but as with so many other parts of God's word, the elements are not accidental. The fact that we have so much talk about clothing and covering in scriptures is not by accident. All of it is full of meaning. And as we're going to learn throughout this Advent season, the clothes point us forward to the King himself, to Jesus Christ. And it starts so early on. Even all the way back here in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are naked and afraid. We're mere moments into life in the Garden of Eden, and they've already thrown it all away. They're the first of billions of people throughout the history of this world to buy Satan's tired lie that they're better off out from under God's love and his leadership. And our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, are now being read the riot act by God himself. Their sin would unleash a tidal wave of divine judgment against all humanity, not just themselves, but every person of all time. And the biggest judgment for them at that moment is their expulsion from the garden itself. No longer being able to abide in the direct presence of God. And not only would life for mankind forever be frustrated and filled with death, they would no longer be able to live there in the direct presence of God. They and we would be left alone with our sin, made to reel from its effects apart from God and feeling far away from Him whose love and care we need the most. Perhaps as you enter into this season of Advent, you're feeling the effects of Adam and Eve's fall from grace in some way. And if that's the case, know that you're not alone. Despite the Christmas music that's been playing since before Thanksgiving, all the party invitations that are piling up, the decorations that are now being put up, the primary emotion of many is grief. Could be that you're grieving the absence of a spouse. Maybe it's the first year where we're having Christmas without that someone who's normally there. Or it could be that you're grieving the financial pressures that you feel as we turn the corner into this most expensive season of the year. You wish you had the means to do more, but for whatever reason, you just can't. For others, this season brings a keen awareness of relational strain. Maybe there's siblings that you're not speaking to. There's a kid who's disappointed you. The sister-in-law who hurt you. or who was hurt by you. All the ones that maybe you're not going to be getting a Christmas card from this year. Or perhaps what you're grieving is simply a long list of the regrets that you carry. Regret and guilt over good things that you've left undone, and terrible things in your past that you just can't undo. So there stand Adam and Eve, naked and full of shame. Their nakedness at first, when they were unblemished by sin, really didn't matter all that much. At most, it was actually a symbol of their purity and of their safety in God's care. But now, corrupted by sin, sent out on their own, and vulnerable to the evils of a broken world, as well as their own dysfunctional hearts, their nakedness now becomes a liability to them. Not to mention a source of shame, serving to remind them of their fall from grace. So what does God do? Does he send them off into the wilderness, cold and exposed, naked and afraid, and covered in guilt? No, that's not what God does. Genesis states it plainly. It says to us, "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." Let's let that sink in for just a moment. God made clothes. God himself, with his very own hands, fashioned a covering for both Adam and for Eve. He was the first tailor. He was the first dressmaker. The original designer. But he didn't use fig leaves as Adam had. And he didn't whip up a few yards of fabric from some cotton that was growing there in the garden. No, God worked in leather. He used skin. Though they and all humanity had been sentenced to death, the very first to die were not going to be Adam and Eve, but another. This would be the first time that blood would be shed in God's good world, the first time that a final breath would be taken, and the first time that a once warm and vibrant body would grow cold. And it would all be done in service of mankind's sin and shame. A third party, not Adam or Eve, but some truly innocent being. And we're not told what kind of animal it was, only what it gave. But some innocent being would lose its life, all so that guilty Adam and Eve could be sent out into the unknown, completely covered. What kind of God would cover over the sin and shame of a people who had rejected him? And what kind of God would not only cover their shame, but do so at such an awful cost and with his own two hands? Are you starting to see it? Is it coming into focus how this very moment here, back in the Garden of Eden, all the way in Genesis chapter 3, points us directly to Jesus. Theologians call this the proto-euangelion, the first glimpse of the good news. Once Adam and Eve went out on their way, their nakedness covered in a new leather covering, God didn't give up then on the business of making clothes. And he didn't give up on the business of covering up shame. This was only the very beginning of the work that God had to do. This was just the first glimpse of what God would do for all of his people. You see, in the very beginning, God had in mind your sin and your shame. He had in mind the vulnerability that all of us feel, the pains and the problems associated with life in this sin-sick world that we're all feeling, that we're all fighting. And God would not be satisfied until every single one of us was covered. And so he sent his Son into the world, the one whose birth we eagerly await during this first week of the season of Advent. He sent him in the world to be our covering. And the clothing God the Father makes for all mankind in Christ is cut from the very same bolt as those original garments. God again works in flesh and blood. Through the loss of the most innocent life, through the shedding of blood, through the letting out of the last breath, and through the extinguishing of one perfect life, forgiveness was fashioned. And it was enough for the whole world. In the life and death of Jesus, there is now an outfit custom made and crafted by God for you. And though we wander in a dark and difficult world, in Christ we're wrapped up in the mercy of God, protected from the harshest elements, namely those effects of sin. We're covered, and we will survive. I don't know exactly how you're feeling the vulnerability and the difficulty of our broken world this Advent season, but I do know that whatever it is, it's covered over by Jesus. You might think it's too big, too awful, too evil, but it's not. When God makes a covering, he covers completely. And just in case any one of us needs a refresher on exactly when it was that God clothed you personally in Jesus' shame-covering, sin-destroying garments of grace, let this be a reminder to you. It was at your baptism, at that moment that you encountered the water and the word, you were not only given a new name, you're now called child of God. You were also given a new life, one which is eternal. But you were also given a new outfit. You were covered in grace and mercy, which was won for you in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This season, Jesus is covering you with his perfect righteousness. It fits easily underneath anything else that we might wear. That ugly sweater, those new flannel pajamas that you can all walk around and match in. It's even going to add a little extra something to your family photos. Because you are arrayed in something made just for you. Something that's come at a great cost and that has been in the works since the very beginning. And it will fill your journey toward Christmas with peace. So rejoice. You are wrapped in the oldest and most fabulous fashion. You're wrapped in God's forgiveness. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.